time.
He never complains. He broke his arm, he didn't complain. Okay, they were trying to find the source of the requirement of seven chakiros, the opening seven questions to determine the time and place of the event in order to be able to put the witnesses open for possible zomeim repercussions. So that's going to be the Gemara's question, Mina Hanimili. From where is this ruling derived? Okay, there is a number of psukim we're going to have to look at. There's going to be three psukim, separate psukim, dealing with checking out the witnesses. Its basic answer is through the extra verbiage, we're going to learn you're going to need seven types of checking of the witnesses. That's what's coming up. Amar Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, let's start with the first pasuk. The Amar Kra, the pasuk says, now what is this talking about? It's talking about an ir hanidachas. If an entire city is worshiping idols, we send the Sanhedrin to check things out. So the pasuk says, the Amar Kra, careful now, vidorashta, and you shall inquire, vichokarta, and question, vishaalta, and ask, hey, Tave, thoroughly. It's a lot of verbiage to just say check something out. How many words can you gotten away with to make it said less? You could say vidarashta once, finished. Check it out. What are all the words? Inquire, question, and ask thoroughly. Just say you saw inquire. Well, isn't that enough? Okay, the first two terms of the verse, vidarashta, you shall inquire. The chakarta, you shall question, imply that the witnesses must be examined well. Okay, got to say it twice to examine them well. Therefore, each term denotes one question to be asked of the witness. The next term, vishalta, you shall ask, does not have a strong connotation on its own, but together with heitev, thoroughly, it denotes yet another question to be asked of the witness. This verse then alludes to three questions. Let's go this over again. We have to do every part carefully here. So when it says vidorashta, you shall inquire, vichokarta, you shall question. Okay, so that's like two types of examinations. Vishalta with the word heitev, ask thoroughly. So Gemara sees there three questions is being mentioned here. Okay. That's in a case of a Ner HaNidachas, three clauses describing questioning. Ve'omer, now we go to another part of the Torah. Or maybe it's over there too. One second. Let's look at this source again. No, it's 17:4. This is regard of an individual who does idolatry. First source was a city. Now an individual. What does it say there? V'omer, it says over there, v'hu God, and if it will be told to you, v'shamata, and you heard, v'dorashta heitev, and you inquire thoroughly. Again, funny wording over there. The term v'dorashta, you shall inquire, denotes another question to ask the witness. The concluding term, heitev, thoroughly, adds one more. Okay, because you didn't have to say heitev. So that gives us two. Ve'omer, and now we go to the third case. It's a case of Edim Zomamim. Witnesses are accused of being Edim Zomamim, the second group. Ve'omer, it says, V'dorshu ha-shoftim heitev. The judges shall inquire thoroughly. This verse, like the previous one, denotes two questions that the judges must ask the second group. Vidorshu says to inquire, denotes one. Heitev thoroughly adds a second. By adding together the number of questions denoted in each of these three verses, how many did you get? Can we do so that the judges must ask the witnesses a total of seven questions? You see, you had three types of words that describe questioning by an ir hanidachas, two words that are describing questioning by the idol worshiper alone, and two types of words of questioning regarding the Edim Zomamim. So 3 + 2 + 2 = 7. Going up to the top of the next page.
But these
questions apply to different situations. Why would we bunch them together?
Well, let's just hold on. Okay, let's see if Gemara's going to ask questions on that. Now Gemara's going to object. But say that each of the three capital offenses requires only the number of questions as it's written in its own section. That's your question. In other words, let's say by a city of idol worship, it had three types of words of questioning, so they get three questions. A single idol worshiper gets two questions. Adam Solomon gets two questions. That would make sense. Three, two, and two. Why? What's giving you the right to add them up to seven? Gemara says, if that's the case, De'im Kain, if that's called Lichtavin Hu, the Torah should have written it, Rachamona, Bachada, in one of them. In other words, if it's so that each capital offense requires, seven questions, Hashem should have written all, this is all part of the question. Yeah, it's all part of the question. It's all part of the question. If Hashem wanted all seven, he should have put all seven by one of them. And then we learn a binyan off to the others. That's all part of the question. Got that? If you wanted to tell me seven, so by one of them put seven. And then I'll know if I do seven by whatever. And you already dachas, I already know I gotta do everything with seven. That's part of the question. That is. If the Torah required judges to ask the seven standard questions in all capital cases, it should have stated this requirement with regard to a single capital offense, and we could have inferred that the same requirement applies to all of the capital offenses. By dividing the seven terms of questioning into three different biblical sections, though, Scripture appears to be indicating that judges are required to ask only the amount of questions stated for each particular prohibition. In other words, witnesses testifying by a subverted town should be subject to three questions, well, those settling with an individual worshipped idolatry or about Hazama should be subject to only two questions. So that's the question on the questions. Okay? Good question. Gomer's going to answer. Kivan de Kula Bahadi Hadodi Ksiva. Since what? Since the requirement to question is written in all three verses equally, and so that's... And so in that aspect, the three verses are equated. In other words, there's a similarity. You don't have this in all cases. There's a lot of cases of capital offense. It just says, if somebody does this, you kill them. Finished. Now, obviously, you got to be checking everybody all the time, don't you? So it's kind of unique that out of all the cases the Torah talks where there's capital offenses, it seems that these are the three in which we really get into the details of asking and questioning, etc. So, therefore, it's written that the requirement to ask is written by all three. You see, these three are unique. Again, why did the Torah single out three to list that there's questionings over here? What do you think? There's not going to be questionings anywhere else? What about a case if somebody's Mechal Shabbos? Does it say you go out and you check it out and you ask questions? No. There's so many cases of death penalty, doesn't say anything. Just give them the death penalty. Well, three particular averos that have death penalty get into the discussion of, you got to check them out, you got to this, you got to that. So since these three mention this idea that there has to be questioning, so therefore we're going to say, Mehadodi Yalfi, so they equally instruct us about each other. In other words, what is taught in one verse applies to the others as well. Okay, that's going to be the Kaven de Yolfiama Dodi, and since they instruct one about each other, Command de Kosiv Bechada Domi. It's as if it's referencing seven questions to all of them in one of the three capital sections. That's what the Gemara is suggesting. In other words, since you have dozens and dozens of cases in the Torah that deals with capital offenses, yet there's only three in which the Torah is going out of its way to say you will thoroughly investigate what's going on over there. So the Torah is telling us that what is said by one applies to the other. And that's so why it didn't say all seven. It's begging the question, But it's saying, because you think, well, they're three totally different things. They have nothing to do with, the questioner was saying, so three totally different things. So what was one was by one, one was there. We're saying, but yeah, but like, why, then why don't we have it by other things? Why is it mentioned questioning and interrogating by other cases? Since the Torah selected these three, these are the only three, that means it's trying to tell us that what applies to one applies to all the other. And you add them up, as it were. Okay, so you could still add, okay, that's at least trying to explain how they're connected, mm-hmm. right? But it still begs the issue, I mean, so we could have written it all by one, and why didn't we write it by one? It doesn't really answer that part. It's answering that, you know, they have some connection. But that's only going to be, right, that's the answer. Since they are all very similar in content, It's sort of repetitive even, so therefore we're going to align them all together.
But if we ask all seven and all the other capital cases where it doesn't say anything, why?
Well, from these three, you'll learn the others.
That's unusual that three each other.
Because you have to add them all, no, you're adding them all up.
Oh, yeah.
If you have two specific things that are teaching the exact same thing, then we have a rule you don't learn from them. But here, no one is able to teach you anything. You need to put all three together. When you have all three together, and since they're similar in content, therefore we have a license to put them all together. Okay, now what the Gemara is going to go through, four lines of questioning, and say, well, are they really so similar? They all have great differences between each other, so I don't know if we could really learn one from the other. Yes, they're similar, that there's some words of you check things out thoroughly, but the Gemara now asks, Vaholo damiladori. These three are not similar at all. So how can we learn one from the other? And now we have the mnemonic coming up here. The mnemonic for the next three problems is Simon, Polat, Sayif, Hasra'a. In other words, there's three capital cases here. We're going to show you how all three are not, Gemara's going to ask, are not similar to each other. The simon is Polat, Sayef, Hasra. We'll see what that's all about. Now he's going to say, if they're not similar, the idea of the question, since they're not similar, how could you learn one from the other? So let's start with the first one. So we're going to show you how each one is different than the other two. If all three are the same, we can say, well, what it says is one is by all of them. They all go together. We can say, no, this one's different than these two, and this one's different than these two. So they're not the same. How can you learn from each other? Gemara's going to say like this. Irani Dachas, the city that's subverted town, Lahanach Tartalam, it's not similar to the other two offenses for the following reason. What does it have that the others don't have? Shekain Mamona Polat, because the property belonging to the people escapes destruction. Of the other two cases escape destruction, while here not. Could have said it reverse. I don't know why. In other words, you have what were the three cases again? You have the subverted tile, the person worships idols, and Adim Zomim. Okay, what happens if they're guilty and you kill them? Well, Adim Zomim, the guilty, you kill them, that's all you do. A single idol worshiper, he's guilty, you kill him, that's all you do. A subverted town, you just don't kill them, you destroy everything of their property. It's all destroyed, no inheritance, gunish, gone. That's what it's saying. So the mamonam, their money, meaning of the other two cases, Polat, it escapes destruction, while the Ir Hanidachas, not. That's what he's saying. It is therefore logical to combine the number of questions indicated by Scripture for the latter two cases in order to discredit the accusing witnesses and thereby save the accused. In other words, two out of the three are similar, but the third one isn't. Regarding the more severe prohibition of a subverted town, it's logical to say the accusing witness receive only the number of questions actually indicated by the verse. In other words, like this, you should really put on a chart. Subverted town has three expressions of questioning. Idol worshiper, two expressions of questioning. Adim Zomim, two expressions of questioning. Those last two are very similar to each other. So let's say those two are teaching to each other. 2 plus 2 is 4. You'd have four lines of questioning. While an Ir HaNidachas only has by itself, it's different, it would be 3. Now, Now, let's have to explain one general assumption we're working with here. What's better for the person who is being charged? To ask more questions to the witnesses or less questions? What's better to save the guy?
More,
because the more questions, the more opportunities for the witness to mess up.
Yeah.
All right? So now, so you figure a sin that's a worse, if we see that we punish a person worse, we'll assume we're not as interested in saving them as much as where the punishment isn't as bad. Right? You see by the punishment the one gets, then you assume, well, it's a much worse crime. In a much worse crime, we're less inclined to get the guy off the hook. So again, of the three so far, for what the information we have, which is the worst crime?
Subverted city.
Why? Because not only do we kill them, we burn all their property. Right? So that's a worse crime. Something that's a worse crime, there's less reason to go more out of our way to save them. Okay? So therefore, when I've got three, now we wanted to say, originally we said, wait, the original question is, why are you taking all three areas and adding them up together? Wait a minute, it's three separate things. That's just two. This is three, this is two, this is two, finished. Gemara says, no, since they're very similar, we put them all together. Gemara's now saying, what do you mean they're very similar? Here on Idagas, it's much worse. You burn all the property. The other two, you don't. So what I would say then is, these two add up, 2 + 2 = 4, and it's not as bad of a sin. They get four questions, while in Aaron Idachas, which is worse, only gets three questions. Maybe, according to what you're saying, it still must be 3 and 4 because they're not the same. Right? That's if I look at it in terms of destruction of assets. Now we're going to look from another aspect. We're going to come out and saying that each one, you can't learn from the other two because they're all this. Everything's got something different. Next one. See what he's saying? Let me read this part again. It's therefore logical to combine the number of questions indicated by Scripture for the latter two cases in order to discredit the accusing witnesses and thereby save the accused. Regarding the more severe prohibition of a subverted town, it's logical to say the accusing witnesses receive only the number of questions actually indicated by their verse. In other words, really, you could say, well, let's just go with what it says in the verse. Three questions, three questions. But if you're seeing two areas that are a little bit less severe in terms of punishment, well, maybe the Torah wants to add the two together, 2 + 2, give us 4, and more questions, a better way to get them off the hook. Okay, so that is how the subverted town we think should get less. Let's look at it another way now. How about let's start with comparing Avodah Zarah, a single person, to idol worship. Lahan Yachtarti, to these other two. Lo Dami is also not similar. Okay. Let's see, what's the punishment? What kind of death punishment do these three get? Two of them get one type of punishment, one doesn't, which is Shekain B'Sayif. The other two get the punishment of Sayif, which is execution of beheading by the sword. Okay? Now, this is assuming, all right, we're going to see in a minute what the other one is, all right? But these two, the other one out, we'll have to explain which two and which one. Also, there's another thing we have to discuss, which one. There are four capital offenses, and there's a hierarchy of which is worse than which is a more severe punishment. Remember, you have stoning, you have burning, you have the sword, and you have strangulation. Okay, now the Chachamim hold that's the order of priority, of strictness. Stoning is the worst punishment. As we'll learn later on, there's different even cemeteries for how you're killed. Because you're a bigger Russia, you get buried in a different place. Stoning means you did a worse crime. That's the worst, that's the most atonement necessary. Then comes burning. Then comes, what did I say, the sword, and then comes strangulation. So this is Saif. This is the sword. Okay? That's what people commit of these means the other two, not Avodah Zarah, they get the less harsh execution of beheading by sword, meaning Adim Zomimim, and Nira Yidachas gets the sword. Okay? What about an idol worshiper? We'll see in a minute. Okay, I'm going to skip. There's a machlokas. There is a machlokas about which four are worse than which ones. But all tanaim agree that death by beheading is a less severe method of execution than death by stoning. Everyone agrees stoning is the worst. beheading is less. Okay, there's a machlokas about others over other ones, but clearly. Hence, with regard to the three prohibitions under discussion, idolatry of an individual is more stringent than the other two in the sense that idolatry by one person is punished by stoning, while the other two are punishable only by beheading. So now it comes out, in this area, the single idol worshiper is much worse than the other two because he gets stoned and the others just get beheaded. And that's for sure, like it's like a much lower criteria. Like stoning is a machlokas. It's either number one or number two. But what do you call it? Sword is a machlokas. Is it three or four? Yeah. And the fact of the matter is, one and two are buried in one cemetery, and three and four are buried in another cemetery. So no matter who you hold, like everyone agrees, stoning is in one cemetery. Sayef is in a different one, and that is for sure worse than it. No matter what the minor machlokes in, that's for sure. So I'm saying, so wait a minute, so who gets the stoning? The single individual does idolatry. The other two less. Therefore, even if we combine the number of questions indicated by Scripture for the two more lenient cases, we would still regard the number indicated by idolatry verse separately. If we look at it this way, we would say that idolatry, a single idolatry goes by himself, it's different. Only two questions asked by him. But the other ones, Irani Dachas, which gets the sword, the Eim Zomim, which gets the sword, three and two would be five. So now I think it would be a two for one and five for the other two, because again, they're not similar. That's what I would think. All right, we're going to skip. There is a question, but I'm not going to get into it, because we know by Eim Zomim, it's not so simple. Eim Zomim, we give him what he wants to give the other guy. But they deal with that, but that's a side question. We're not going to deal with that. We got enough to deal with over here. So that's the second one. So now we see how a single individual idol worshiper wouldn't be able to learn from the other two. And finally, Eidim Zomimim Lahanichtarti Lo Damya. Now Eidim Zomimim has an aspect that's worse than the other two, which is Shekein Srichim Hasra. The other two need warning before the punishment is dealt with, and Eidim Zomimim don't. Let's look. If you want to kill these people, if a guy worships idols, what must happen for him to get the death penalty? Somebody's got to warn him, you cannot do this. Now, that warning is sort of a leniency in terms of punishing the guy, because if you don't have the warning, you're not going to kill him, even if you see it. So you see, there's a bit of a leniency there. It has to happen. And here on Idachas, a city that's all worshiping idols, you can't just check it out and see they're worshiping idols. You've got to warn them. You go in and say, no, we heard reports that you guys worshiping idols. So in order to convict, you'd have to have something like this. Yep. And you've been doing it. Yeah. And you plan on doing it. Yep. Like when? Well, tomorrow morning we're having another church service. Come on and check us out. And then the next day, we're warning you, the whole city, don't do it. That's the only way, you know, you don't need all these big investigations. you were doing it. Now, obviously, they would stop doing it. You know, that's fine. The idea is not to kill the city. The idea is get them to do tshuva. Say, listen, let's explain to you. You're not supposed to do this against the Torah, blah, 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 blah. I'm warning you. If you're going to do that tomorrow, you're going to be in trouble. Well, you come tomorrow, you'll see. And then the next day, so right before the worship, they get warned. So that's the only way they get killed. On the other hand, Eidim Zomimim, how in the world can you warn them? Let's explain how Eidim Zomimim happens. We have a court case. Let's say two witnesses come in and said, this guy killed this guy. Now, as much as we scare the witnesses, we say, you know, you shouldn't lie. These are things, blah, blah, blah. It's a bad thing, blah, blah, blah. But a warning means, I'm warning you, do not, I see you're about to worship this idol. I'm warning you, don't worship this idol. And the guy worships the idol, right? So that's a clear warning to a clear behavior that's going against the warning. When the witnesses testify, most witnesses in the world are not liars. The witness comes in, and we say, well, we want you to know the importance of testimony. And you know, if you kill a person wrongfully, so you better be accurate in what you're saying. You better be telling the truth. But we don't know that they are about to lie. This is not a warning. When I see a guy with a gun in his hand, he says, okay, you're finished. And we warn him because we see what he is going to do. He is about to do a crime. When a witness testified, most witnesses are not committing a crime. And your hasra, your warning, the warning has to be a warning of certainty. It's not like you go, you know, what if your three friends, two guys see a friend, and he's a kind of a bad dude. Yes, and where are you going? Oh, I'm going out to go to the bar. Well, we're warning you, don't kill anybody. and then he kills somebody. Well, we warned him. What do you mean you warned him? You didn't even know he was going to kill. Well, maybe it's a good chance. No, he has to have gun in hand ready to shoot. So that you could see, you know what to warn about. But you don't know the Edim Zomim or Zomimim until the next day when another two witnesses come and say they're lying. You can't have a case where the judges know for sure he's lying. Okay, I want this would theoretically be the case. Okay, I'm about to testify. I want you to know I'm lying when I testify, but I'm going to testify anyway. And then they say, well, we're warning you, don't do it. Well, that can't be. If you're telling me you're lying, we're not going to listen to your testimony. So it's not possible. It's the only case in the Torah where you kill somebody where he can't get a proper warning before he does the crime because it's not possible. But yet, when the next two witnesses come, that's the Chiddush of the Torah, next witnesses come and say they weren't in the right place, we kill them. So there's a case of killing someone without a warning. You understand how the logic works there? So therefore, let's just read it inside. For most prohibitions that carry a corporal punishment, one is subject to that punishment only if he was warned about the consequences of action. Exceptions rule is a prohibition of hazama. Since the false witnesses had tried to inflict a certain punishment upon their intended victim without his first being warned, for having never actually committed the crime, he obviously was not warned, they must receive the exact punishment as their penalty. It's therefore logical to combine the number of questions indicated by Scripture for idolatry committed either by a town or a single person, as they're less strict, because you have to have the warning. So it'll be what? 2 plus 3 to be 5 questions for them, while Edim Zomim, only 2 expressions, they only get 2. The number of questions, right? But for Hazama verse, would not be combined as well, since there the witnesses are subject to even without being warned. So therefore, the Gemara's asked a really good question. We're saying, how do you add them all up? You can't add them up. Not everyone has a problem that it can't be learnt out from the other two. So therefore, this line of reasoning cannot work. You can't say, well, there's 3 verses, and they're talking about the same subject matter, so we just add up the amount of questions they have together. Where it says, no, there's always reason to say why one can't be, each one can't be learned from the other two, because each one has a strictness that the other one doesn't have. And since each one has their own strictness, it would make sense not to learn anyone from the other. And therefore, you're stuck without any drasha. All right, so now we're stuck. We're going to stop it here at the stuck place. And now we're going to stick with the psukim, but come up with another way of looking at extra words to find a way to get us to the point of 7. So right now we don't have an answer.